Is it Wednesday yet, Elliot Serrano? I believe it's Wednesday.
Is it?
It's Wednesday. At least in the Allstate Showcase studio, it's definitely Wednesday. I'm pretty late.
It feels like a Friday.
Well, that's because you just started your holiday vacation, didn't you?
I am off for the next 5 days. This is my Christmas vacay.
And you're spending your first few hours with us.
With you guys, because I love you all.
I love that that's it for you. You have a sort of lightness about you. And yet a weight. It's weird. There's a heaviness and a lightness.
There's a lot
You strike an interesting balance that way.
There is definitely a weight. It's a weight that drags me down. As a gravity, I guess, would be the word.
Is it the weight of the world?
The weight of the world.
You know what the problem is? We didn't do any stair climbing today. That's why you have the weight of the world.
I would feel the weight more that way, because then the gravity would be fighting me even that much more.
We have not been in the stairwells the way we should be. You know, that's coming up in March.
Well, FYI, I have been exercising.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, but although I'm doing more running than I am.
Now, do you go to a gym, treadmill?
Yeah, treadmill.
I can't do a treadmill.
Treadmills are easier on the knees.
Yes, that's true.
So, and then after a while, after I get back into that, and then I run on the track.
Mm-hmm.
I run on the track, indoor track. Then after that, I'll try going outdoors. It is incredible, the transition of running from a track to running outside. Because for some reason, just everything feels different.
Harsh? Does it feel
harsher,
harsh outside?
Way harsher.
Well, it's cold out. That's going to make it harsher.
Yeah.
And is it a padded track inside?
No.
Rubberized?
Yeah, the little rubber thing.
Cushion?
There. And it's like that slight inclines when you're going around the turn. So it's like real smooth and you go around. And
outside is like cracks in the sidewalk. Pavement's uneven. There's curbs. You have to step over.
The dog that's barking at you when you go by the yard.
Amongst other things.
Yeah. So.
Don't step in that.
No.
I don't like to run. Esmeralda, have you ever been somebody who laces up their gym shoes and just
running?
I hate running.
I hate it with a passion.
Yeah. Dan Long, producing tonight, are you someone who laces up and goes for a run?
No, not at all.
Not at all? Not even a little bit?
No, I have been getting better at getting some cardio in, just getting on the bike or like an elliptical, but generally.
See, and that's, you have to find your thing. Some people, I don't like the bikes. I just, an elliptical is either. An elliptical is like too much going on. There's arm motion. There's a circular leg motion. I feel like I'm swimming standing upright.
See, I find that helpful though. Like, cause when I do go to the gym, like I'll get a workout in and it helps to get kind of a lather going, you know,
yes.
Even if it's just for 15 minutes, get your arms and legs moving.
And
it leads to better like lifts for me.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. You should definitely warm up. What were you going to say, Elliot?
Well, I was going to say the elliptical gives you a false sense of security.
What do you?
Because I would work
it tells
out.
You, it tells you it's going to be in for the long
yeah,
haul.
Yeah, and
and it doesn't call anymore.
It doesn't.
No.
And
next
you know, like,
your text.
You go to the mall and you see it with somebody else.
What's the false sense of security that an elliptical gives you?
I remember I would start working on the elliptical and I would do like 3-4 miles on the elliptical.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, oh yeah, this feels good. I mean, I'm really working it out. And this thing's telling me I'm going a long distance. But then when you actually try to run 3-4 miles.
Oh,
you're like, no.
Your endurance is not built up.
It's nothing like the elliptical said it would be.
Interesting.
It lies to you.
Esmeralda's doing yoga. How's that going, Es?
I haven't done it in a few days.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I've been sleeping like all day.
Sleep
well,
is
this
good.
This weather, if I'll tell you something, if I didn't have to get up and do things, I would be under the blankets just binge watching whatever came on. I binge watched the last two seasons of 24. Over the course of, well, I got sick when I was in Los Angeles, so I actually was in bed for almost 48 hours and was able to watch that series from beginning to end.
But the whole, like, how many seasons?
The last two seasons.
Last two seasons.
I think it's like 6 and 7 or 7.
24, so that's 48 episodes.
48 episodes. I didn't watch all of them. I would fall asleep in the middle of it and then wake up to something else happening.
I'm sure you wouldn't miss much.
A character had been killed by apparently the Russians. I don't know why.
It's always the Russians.
Well, now it is. remember we thought it was cute that we were trying to make the Russians the bad guys again, and then oh wait a minute, that's feeling really true
because it was supposed to be Russian mob. Mm-hmm. Remember we made it the Russian mob,
right?
But now we're back to just the Russians again.
The Russians. Well, we knew that a couple years ago. It wasn't like Putin came out of nowhere. He was starting to go back to it. Anyway. That was also being reflected in episodes of 24, which then led me to start watching the Designated Survivor. which I'm enjoying tremendously.
Which I hear good things about. Have you watched Black Mirror at all?
No, but I've heard good things about Black Mirror.
That's like the next one I'm going to binge
watch. It's on Netflix, right?
Netflix, Black Mirror.
Are you hearing the same sort of buzz as Strange Things?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Or Stranger Things.
Stranger Things. I've heard it both ways.
Strange Things.
I've heard it the right way and can't remember which one that is.
No, I can't either. You've got me doubting myself. But the thing about Stranger Things, I grew up with Goonies and Poltergeist and all that. So I was like, oh, this is really cute. You're just basically ripping off everything I saw as a kid.
Your childhood is just coming to life. Did you have that bike? The big, what were those handlebars?
With
the banana seat?
Banana seat, yeah.
What were those, like, almost like Harley handlebars?
The Harley handlebars. No, did I have one of those?
I had my favorite bike, and my mother will still tell you that it was my fault. You gave it away. You would still have it if you weren't giving everything away. I had a bike by Huffy called Pink Thunder. I loved that bike. It had like a placard, like almost like a plate on the handlebars in between.
It said Pink Thunder.
It said Pink Thunder on it. And it wasn't a banana seat. It was like one of those, remember those like rectangular, real cushy seats?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It was a girl's pink dirt bike. It was awesome.
I remember, Huffy was the bike to have.
Yes.
You know, so if you got a Schwinn, mm-hmm. you weren't as cool as the kids who got a Huffy.
And Schwinns are really good bikes.
And the Schwinn's still the Schwinn is what you got on the Bozo show.
Yes.
You know, on the grand prize game.
I haven't done anything for that. As we're going
to I'm wondering, who did you give it to?
I don't remember. My mom. there were toys that I had, because I became an aunt when I was 7 years old. My sister Bonnie had a child when she was rather young, but my sister Bonnie is 21 years older than me. So she was 28 when she had her first child. And so at 7 years old, I was Aunt Patty. And I gave a lot of my toys to my nieces. And my mom was like, you weren't even done playing with them. To my niece. I gave them to my niece, Rebecca.
So you gave a baby a bike?
I don't know. I'm trying to backtrack to all of the things. Because by the time I would have given my bike away, I would have been I would have been 12. She would have been 5. That makes sense. Yeah.
Give a baby a bike.
A 5-year-old. That's how old I was when I got my Pink Thunder. I was 5 years old. I felt like Cool Aunt Patty.
Yeah. Did it have training wheels or anything on it?
No, I never had training wheels. I had my I haven't told this story on stage or on the air in a long time. My dad did that thing where he runs behind you,
right.
And you think he's there. Daddy, are you there? Daddy, are you there? He's like, yeah, I'm there. And then all of a sudden he wasn't. And I realized he wasn't there. And you're supposed to go, oh my gosh, I'm doing it. But then you're like, hey, why'd you let go? And then I fell. And I always thought the reason he didn't keep up with the bike was he was a heavy smoker and he just couldn't run that far holding the bike up. But yeah, I never had training
wheels. I'm seeing pictures of this bike. It seems a little too big for a 5-year-old.
I had that bike when I was 5, maybe 6.
You
maybe
sure
six.
It wasn't a big wheel? Because everyone had a big wheel.
I had a big wheel when I was 3. I rocked that big wheel up and down Kedvale Avenue. I'm telling you something.
I had a big wheel till I was 10.
Oh, no. Till you were 10? No, I loved that big wheel with the yellow little trunk you had for the...
Yeah.
Which I collected rocks in or something. I don't know what I put in there.
And then if you were really cool, you got the one that had the brake on it.
Yes.
Remember?
Why wouldn't you have the brake? I didn't know it didn't have...
spin out. No, there was one, the earlier model just had, and it had the trunk bit. But remember, it pulled out because it had little... It was like a pog, it was like a giant Lego, that you just pushed in for your trunk, or you pulled it out because you wanted to move your seat back.
Exactly.
Further.
I was going to say, wasn't the seat adjustable too?
The seat to move back further.
I had a Cabbage Patch one, and it had a basket in the back.
Big wheel?
Yeah.
Cabbage Patch?
The big wheel.
Oh, then they started having. Did you have a big wheel, Dan?
I did, yeah.
See, this is something every kid should have had, a big wheel. I want a big wheel now.
And then wait, if you have an older brother like I do, he broke it by. By he would try to ride it by he would essentially use it
standing
as a scooter.
Yeah, yep. I remember
and
that.
He broke it.
Yeah,
bad child.
Because the rear wheels would collapse. He couldn't support all that weight. Yeah.
Well, wouldn't the base of it too?
The
would
base,
probably
the
bend.
Whole thing, but
yeah,
the
it would cave.
The little the axle, the rear axle would just crack the inside of the wheel.
Yeah, I mean that thing was all plastic.
Yeah.
So.
It's amazing what we did as kids.
312-981-7200. Now we're talking about our favorite toys. I'm pretty sure I got my pink Huffy. Yes, I was 5. You know where my parents got it from? I found out later. It was Service Merchandise. Remember that store where you like had to go with the ticket and you had to write the number down?
Yep.
And it came from some mysterious back room. Nothing was on, just the display item. But it would come down that conveyor belt. That was an exciting time.
My dad had like hundreds of dollars worth of Service Merchandise gift cards. and that he gave to me. Mind you, he gave them to me like the week Service Merchandise was closing.
No.
So you had to go buy everything. There to find something. And this is when Service Merchandise had everything all picked off the walls.
Yeah.
I thought, I'll find a blender or something. Even then, I couldn't find a lot of stuff.
None of that jewelry. They always had like the weirdest jewelry. Like always with you get. That was the first time I ever saw like jewelry where you could get someone's name like on a chain. 312-981-7200. Tell us about some of your favorite gifts that you've gotten throughout your life. And we're talking about the childhood stuff, but oh, you know what? Service Merchandise too. That works. Venture, Zare, all those places that we knew. What?
Community.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about. Now you're too old. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me is Elliot Serrano, our chief geek officer, also one of the head of education at the Anti-Cruelty Society. Is that correct title?
Manager of education. I love those promotions, but yeah, I'm just the
CEO, president.
Right. The manager.
Chief operating officer.
That'd be great. Of education programs for the Anti-Cruelty Society. A lot of folks will ask me, they'll go, what does that mean? to be the education manager, but anti-cruelty has a philosophy and a mission to promote education as in ways of combating and preventing animal cruelty. So we have programs.
It's in the title, anti-cruelty.
Anti-cruelty, yeah. Hmm. And then we want to try to teach kids about empathy and responsible pet ownership, as well as doing a lot of other things. So, you know, it's a fun job. I really enjoy it. It's it keeps me on my toes. I have to work with people a lot, all different ages. And
which is why you and I like playing with a lot of toys.
A lot of toys.
A lot of the Star Wars, the Doctor Who stuff, by the way. I saw your friends have a wonderful collection. And we are talking about the toys we have fond memories of. George wanted to join our conversation. Hi, George. How are you doing?
Hey, Patty. How are you doing today?
Very well. Thank you. What do you want to tell us about?
Well, there were two toys that were, you know, huge when I was young. One of the main ones, the yo-yos. I love yo-yos. But the main toy that I called about are Frisbees. I used to get Frisbees for my birthday, for Christmas. That's all I ever wanted was Frisbees. So my parents would buy me Frisbee. I still have every single Frisbee I've ever gotten as a gift in my collection.
How many do you have?
Yeah, right now, total, close to about maybe like 3,200.
What? 3,200 Frisbees. Where do you store all your Frisbees?
In my house. They're in bins and plastic bags, and you know the more valuable ones are stored away in a storage locker.
George, I've got to know this. I've got to know this because, yeah. I mean, I'm assuming we're kind of in a similar age range, and I remember seeing all those ads on television from Wham-O for the different
Wham-O
Frisbees, and all those crazy tricks that you know you could do with the Frisbees. Is there a real difference between different types of Frisbees? Or are they all just pretty much the same thing? But
100% different. Okay. I mean,
what?
I played. Have you ever heard of the sport disc golf?
Yeah.
Okay, I compete professionally. That's mm-hmm. That's my job. So I travel all over the world and play disc golf. Frisbees are like, I know them top to bottom. The profiles, the sizes of the rims, I mean, the slightest millimeter differences in just the widths, the heights, of the size of the rim, just the weight of the disc will completely change the flight pattern of any disc. And right now, as far as Professional Disc Golf Association, PDGA, approved competition discs, there's probably over 4,000 different discs, and they all fly differently.
Oh, wow.
See, so when he says he has 3,200 Frisbees,
yeah,
he's professional.
Frisbees. Like, Ultimate Frisbees are a whole class of their own. You know, they're anywhere between 150 grams and 200 grams in weight, and they range, and if you know how to throw one, you can maneuver that disc to put it anywhere you want, you know, within from where you're standing to 500 feet away. I mean, I can put a disc within a 20-foot circle from 500 feet away from where I'm standing.
Wow.
Throwing it.
Okay.
Do you have a dog?
I do not.
I say, because you got to get one of them disky, those frisbee catching dogs.
Yeah, border collies seem to really enjoy it.
That's the last thing that I need is a dog to chew into my $15,000 1972 Wham-O original.
That's
frisbee.
True.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, the cats, all cats for George is what I'm thinking.
George, I'm a cat guy. I love cats.
See, there you go. They're not going to chew on his frisbees. I have a question for you, George. Do you ever get like one of those, you know, the promotional ones, and you're surprised by how good it is? You know, some bank prints on one or a real estate agent. Do you ever get one of those? You're like, that's pretty good for a freebie.
You know, I don't think I've ever said that. I don't know. It's kind of like, if you know Jay Leno, he's in the car. It's kind of like giving him a Kia Optima and asking him what he thinks. It's like, yeah, he's gonna like his 74 Porsche over. You know what I'm saying?
Fair. Right, that's right. Fair.
Can't really. Yeah, I don't know. I've never really gotten a Remax stamped Frisbee and thought anything of it. They're all pretty run of the mill. The discs that I collect are all PDGA approved for disc golf, and the ones that aren't are like old Whammo. Ed Hedrick, he kind of invented the game of disc golf in the late 60s, early 70s, and he took the Whammo Frisbee and sort of changed it into what it is now for the sport. But a lot of the ones that aren't approved I collect are from that era, like the old Whammo Frisbees. Like the most expensive one I have now is around $14,800.
Wow.
In its packaging.
George, I have so many questions for you. Will you do me a favor and give Dan your information? I think we need to have a segment just to talk about all this, because I wasn't prepared for a professional frisbee golf.
I call it Frolf.
I don't think he calls it Frolf.
No, I know.
No, it's okay. I used to get angry. I used to get the stink eye when I heard that, but I just accepted it. It's all right.
That's because you've gotten to a place of success where you're like, hey, you can't touch this.
So when you saw that, episode of Seinfeld where George was playing frisbee golf with that plain white frisbee, you were like, dude, that's not even like legit. That's not even regulation.
You know what's hilarious is that somebody gifted me for my birthday last year a T-shirt. My brother's girlfriend gave me a T-shirt for my birthday, and it says there's a disc golf basket, and on it it says it's a George Costanza quote. It says it's the summer of George.
Uh huh. Yep.
You know, yeah, and it says that, and it's got a disc golf basket, yep. And then George Costanza's face was kind of like faded off in the background. So I wear that often. But yeah, that was a good episode.
That's fantastic. I love that. Yeah, George, hold on the line, and we've got a gift card from Apt Electronics for you as well, because that's some great. Those are some great. I just never even thought about the art and the sport of disc frisbee golf.
Frisbee golf.
Yeah, disc golf. Yeah,
disc golf. I had no idea. Yeah, I need to get you back on the show sometime. I want to find out about the places you've seen, some of your favorite places to play. Absolutely, George. Hold on the line. Dan's going to get your information.
Thank you so much.
Of course. And we want to talk to Mike before I go to the break. And, hey, Mike, what do you want to tell us?
Hey, I'm following the greatest frisbee thrower ever.
I know. What were the chances? Apparently 100% on this show. I love that.
Well, my favorite gift ever given, it was a Transformer. When I was, I think I was 7 or 8, and it was the Optimus Prime Transformer. But it wasn't just that I got it, but it was how my parents had basically did it. We were they were struggling at the time, and I just said I wanted a Transformer. So Christmas Day they gave me, they opened up the presents. It was I saw the boxes, so I knew it couldn't have been Optimus Prime, which is like this huge truck. So it was like smaller ones, and so I knew I was just getting like maybe the smaller, relatively cheaper ones, which was still would have been fine.
Like right. Bumblebee.
But it was right. Jazz. Actually,
or I Jazz. Think
it was like,
right.
Yep. Right. It was like the middle one. It wasn't like Bumblebee, which you got in like Happy Meals. But it was definitely wasn't one. It was one that was like, okay, it wasn't expensive, wasn't going to break the bank, because like Optimus Prime had all extra toys inside like the tanker truck.
Right.
So anyways, like, after you open all the presents or whatever, and like, I thought I was happy with what I got, because I knew, we had a fairly large family at that time, and, they could only get so many presents. When you're like, go put all the wrapping paper in the garbage in the garage. And that's when I went outside. And not only do I see the box with Optimus Prime in it, but a new bike as well.
No
wow.
way! Oh, they did the whole, what is it called, the bait and change.
Bait and switch.
I couldn't
bait
put the, bait and switch. Wow.
Yeah, I do it every year now with my kids.
So. Do you really do bait and switch with your kids?
Yeah, not necessarily make them think like, okay, this is like, it's going to break them. But, I don't, what's in the box. We talked about what you want.
Right.
But then it comes to like, okay, what do I think you would want? But what I think that kind of ties into your personality and the things that you like individually.
So that's so sweet, Mike. What a great story. Hold on the line. I've got a Lou Malnais gift card for you for some pizza. Will you hold on the line? Dan's going to take your info and
we'll
send that out to you.
Hey, Mike.
Hold on.
Mike.
Yeah.
We're going to roll out
Thanks, Mike. Merry Christmas, my friend.
You too.
Have a great holiday with your family. More after this on 720 WGN.